You're listening to Wednesday Night's Arena. The zither and the iconic Harry Lime theme from Carol Reed's film version of the Graham Greene novel, The Third Man. Graham Greene, the author of Brighton Beach, The End of the Affair, The Quiet American, The Power and the Glory, and many exotically located novels, is the subject of a new biography by Richard Greene. The author of the biography is no relation of his more famous namesake, but he has tantalisingly called his study Russian Roulette, The Life and Times of Graham Greene. Sophie Gorman has been reading the book for us, and she joins me now. When you start with the title Russian Roulette, you really hook us in, Sophie. Is this a game that this Graham Greene that is, actually claims he indulged in Russian Roulette?
This is it. Actually, I think in the broader sense, I think much of Graham Greene's, and actually for the rest of this, I'll probably just call him Greene because it's easier, but much of Graham Greene's life was Russian Roulette. He did like to play with danger quite a lot, but this title refers to a specific anecdote that Graham Greene used to tell very frequently that has never been conclusively proved, but actually who cares, because it's a very good anecdote. And like many of Graham Greene's stories, it has to do with women, or in this case, a specific woman, because much has been made of Greene's sexual appetite. But he was a very young boy at this time. He'd kissed cousins and had a moment with a sibling's nursemaid, but then he fell head over heels in love with their governess, Gwen, when on a family holiday when he was 19. Gwen, unfortunately, did not return his feelings with quite so much vigor. They did kiss, but that was not enough for Greene. And he was at that time in his life, he was having incredible moments of intense passion and intense boredom, swinging very much in his moods. And he also at that time discovered a revolver in the cupboard of the bedroom he was sharing with his older brother, Raymond. And he claims a box full of bullets, though that point has been disputed by both his mother and his brother. So he set out across the commons, as any love-struck young man would do, with the bullets and the gun. He put one single bullet into the chamber of the gun, and then he spun it. He claims his idea was not to suicidal, but rather to play with death, to get a high from that. He fired. Obviously, he lived. The bullet, though, he noticed afterwards, was in the adjacent chamber. So obviously it was a close brush with death. But he got such a kick from it that he took the revolver back with him. He was studying at Oxford at the time, and he played this game a total of six times. And then in 1923, he decided that was enough. The thrill had gone. Right. But he did tell this story, though, to a lot of people, including famously Fidel Castro, who thought it was a wonderful story. As I think it was one that could be rolled out in good company.
And Castro, just one of many world leaders that Graham Greene actually met. Gorbachev.
This is it. I mean, the music, the films that we know of Greene, The Third Man, and actually it's interesting, some of his books, because I have to admit I'm a huge fan of Graham Greene. My favourite book is probably The Comedians, which is set in Haiti. It's an extraordinary book of three men who are on a boat towards Haiti, and they meet, it's the time of Papa Doc, and they arrive there, and it's a story of being afraid of everything, of love, of life, of fear, and it's a glorious book. But a lot of the books center on these very war-torn areas, which Greene himself visited and spent time in, often as a journalist and sometimes even as a slightly more than a journalist. Sometimes he dabbled slightly in spying, as I'm sure we'll mention.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that life as a journalist and the foreign correspondent that he was, or perhaps the spy that he was.
I think that the two overlapped somewhat. He was, though, and it plays into some of the life and the work are very overlapping. Indeed, Richard Greene starts his own introduction with Greene's time in Vietnam, because he believes that whilst in earlier biographies much was made of Graham Greene's sexual tendencies and also his mental health issues, when really that Graham Greene should be considered as a fascinating writer and correspondent. But there's a lovely story of how he became a journalist, because he was a student at Oxford at the time, and he met John Buchan, who's the author of The 39 Steps, who really advised against writing fiction and encouraged a young Graham to try journalism. He was still 19 at the time. So his first journalistic adventure was quite close to home. He was sent by the Daily Express to depict Ireland after the Civil War, and he used Oxford connections to get introductions to various Sinn Féin leaders, and decided to create some kind of a tableau, a road journey, so to speak. He spent a week hiking through Ireland from Dublin to Waterford in June in 1923 at the time. So it was obviously just after the war's end. And he was with his cousin, Tutor. So you picture it, Sean. These are two well-to-do young men with posh English accents. And at one time, they even had stones thrown at them. It was not a success. And neither were the series of articles that he produced at the back of it. He couldn't place any of them. And this was followed by a very dubious trip to Germany, which his own father tried to veto, where he forged unsavory alliances at best and acted as a courier of sorts in France for some pro-German groups. So he was dabbling at playing a spy, but he wasn't very successful. Though he did have a moment of helping Cuban revolutionaries as a secret courier. This is a lovely story, actually, where he was transporting warm clothing for Castro's rebels hiding in the hills during a Cuban winter. And Castro rewarded him for this by giving him a painting that he himself had painted, which then hung in Green's house in France.
So the way you're describing him there, even if they weren't totally successful, all of the trips, but there's a kind of a romance to those trips. And later on, the sort of places that he lived in and the places that he was a foreign correspondent, an exotic nature to them. So Richard Greene then, in this biography, is he refuting this type of romantic image?
Richard Greene, and it's almost to his failing, is completely enthralled by Graham Greene, and he loves all of these stories. He doesn't really question or challenge any of Graham Greene's assertions. But mind you, they're great assertions, so why would you if you're writing a book about Graham Greene? Because the stories, all of these destinations, Liberia, Haiti, Kenya, Cuba, Paraguay, Nicaragua, they're not places anyone else would normally go on holiday. But Graham Greene went. He often brought a long-suffering cousin, Dorothy, who she brilliantly said that if you're in a sticky situation, he will be so interested in noting your reactions to that situation that he will probably forget to rescue you.
Does he bring us to Vietnam? I presume he does. And to what is the subject of The Quiet American?
He does indeed. And this is, as you know, in the book, it's a story of two men being in love with the same woman, a love triangle. And it was at a time when Graham Greene was in Vietnam himself. So he experienced all of this world. He knew this world, and he brings that very much to the book.
Let's listen to a clip from the film version then of The Quiet American. Michael Caine playing an ageing British reporter called Thomas Fowler in the fictional world, based in Vietnam, living with the much younger Fung, played here by Thai Hai Yen Do, a young Vietnamese woman. But a newly arrived Dr. Alden Pyle, played by Brendan Fraser, has other ideas for Fung's future, and he comes to visit Thomas and Fung.
I don't want to talk about Fung behind her back. I thought she was going to be here. Her sister told me about her predicament.
And what predicament is that?
I think you know. But you can't marry her, and by living with you, she can never have a proper marriage to a Vietnamese man.
She doesn't need a proper marriage with a Vietnamese man. She's with me. There she is.
Hello.
Hello. It's very nice to see you.
Actually, it's you that Mr. Pyle has come to visit, Fung. So, why don't we all sit down? Fire away.
Ever since I met you, and danced with you, and talked with you, I haven't been able to get you out of my thoughts for more than a moment. I've fallen in love with you.
You fall in love with me?
Please believe me when I say I've never behaved like this before. I apologize. It is abrupt. And it is ill-mannered, but I'm in love with you.
Shouldn't you be on one knee?
I'm not a rich man, but I do have assets.
Let's toss for her.
What can you offer her?
Oh, Christ.
Listen, I don't expect you to love me right away. That'll come with time.
Yes, you can always make love to the chauffeur while he's at the office.
You have no right to insult her.
Will you shut your bloody dog up?
You can come away with me right now.
Tell him to bugger off and take his dog with him.
The voice of Michael Caine at the end of that clip from The Quiet American. And Sophie Gorman is speaking to me this evening about a new biography of Graham Greene. The biography is called Russian Roulette, The Life and Times of Graham Greene. What does Richard Greene, who's the author of the biography, Sophie, how does he handle Catholicism? Because it's such an important part of Graham Greene's life and his conversion to Catholicism.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's exactly it. And Catholicism, it's funny, for a man who was very much a determined agnostic, I'm talking about Graham Greene here, when he became a Catholic, he then was so obsessed with it. I mean, more than many Catholics would be. It features in everything, in every book and every writing. And it's this battle against the church and the power of the church and how it has its presence in our lives. I mean, one of my first books that I ever read, actually, I think it was the first book, was called A Burnt Out Case, which is set in a leper colony in the Congo. And that there features a Catholic doctor. So it's woven through all of it. And Graham's was a late starter into Catholicism. He became a Catholic in 1926, but he was engaged with it from the beginning. And he became a Catholic simply because he wanted to marry a woman called Vivian, who is a writer and an expert on dolls' houses. And she was a very staunch Catholic and wouldn't consider Graham until he became a Catholic. So it was a very important moment for him to become a Catholic. And there was a very powerful relationship, that one of a number. She was very tolerant of Graham because he did wander and then would always return.
And of course, the story feeds directly into the end of the affair. Neil Jordan famously making the movie of that quite recently. It's set during the London Blitz. Sarah is the wife in this story, played by Julianne Moore. Morris is the husband-to-be. Rafe finds the house has just been bombed. He's been left for dead at the end of the stairs, but he wakes and searches for Sarah.
I never heard the bang. I awoke after 5 minutes or 5 seconds to a changed world. For a moment, I was free of feeling. Love, hate, jealousy. And it all felt like happiness.
Rafe Fiennes in that scene from The End of the Affair, based on the Graham Greene novel, and that was the Neil Jordan film. So, Sophie, this biography that we're talking about then, does Richard Greene, again, no relation to Graham Greene, does he give us anything new? What does he give us in this book that perhaps we haven't got before? What did it do for you?
To be honest, this is the first biography I've read, so I reveled in all the anecdotes, these lovely anecdotes about Shirley Temple, who sued him for libel. He called Alfred Hitchcock a harmless clown, and Virginia Woolf's characters were nothing more than some of their drifting perceptions. What it made me want was to read the books again and return to Graham Greene's own writing very much more than I didn't feel. I think Richard Greene got really slightly overwhelmed by all the detail that he wanted to convey, and then we lost the story of Graham slightly in the middle of it. But he was extraordinary. He was writing from he published his first novel in 1929 and his final collection of short stories in 1990, and in between he wrote so many books, and he wrote film scripts, he wrote travel books, he wrote short story collections. Incredibly prolific.
Sophie Gorman there speaking to me about Russian Roulette, The Life and Times of Graham Greene by Richard Greene, and it's published by Little Brown. That's it for tonight's show. Janice Furphy was the broadcast coordinator. The programme was produced by Kay Sheehy. Talk to you tomorrow night, Christmas Eve, when we'll be looking at the best of our author interviews from the last year.